Good morning and welcome to our service of worship this morning. The more I am in ministry, the more 1784 seems to be a wonderful time. You don't get locked in elevators. You don't have to worry about batteries for microphones or anything like that. My apologies that we're a little late this morning, but when I came in, Cynthia said, the elevator's not working. So I went to see what was wrong. And I'm not sure if I found the exact problem she did or not, but I certainly found a problem with the elevator. Me inside of it being primarily the one. But here we are, gathered in God's house for worship on this day, and that is a good thing. So welcome to our worship this morning. Welcome to those who are visiting with us this morning. Whether you be here in-house or online, we're pleased to welcome you to worship. The announcements have been on the screens, and so I hope you've had time to take a look at them. Extra time, as it turns out, but that's fine. And we are grateful to the Cornwall Fire Department for showing up and letting me out, or you'd be sitting here until tomorrow, maybe. But we're grateful to, I am grateful for them for letting me out this morning. The announcements were on the screen. I don't think there's anything I need to spend any extra time on as far as that is concerned. We welcome you this morning. This morning's worship is going to be slightly different in as much as is part of the celebrations of the 240th anniversary of the founding of our city. We are going to follow the order of worship as it would have been worshiped around that same time. We're not quite 240, only 237. So we will have to, you'll have to imagine that there was a church here at that point, but we were the first congregation in the city, and we will, in 3 years' time, have our own 240th anniversary to celebrate, and that will be an exciting event. Couple of things about the order of worship that you will need to know. Everything is different. If you just remember that, we'll be okay. When you think you should stand, sit down. When you think you should be sitting, stand up. The cue that I have given to those who are at the front this morning, choir, pay attention to this, is that If Bill Brown, who is leading us in music this morning, if Bill is standing, you should be sitting. So we'll just try to, I'm sure we'll get it wrong at least once, but that'll be okay. The other thing is that the hymns today will be unaccompanied. We will sing the Psalms as for the longer tradition. Then, in fact, we sang with organ. We will sing the songs as they are presented, and Bill will be our presenter this morning. The way we've decided to do the presentation of the Psalms is thusly. For the first verse, Bill will sing a line, and you will repeat the line. So we will go line by line through the first verse, just to refamiliarize you with the with the tune of the psalm, and then for verses 2, 3, and subsequent, we will just sing the verses through. So the music this morning is totally up to you. And in many ways, interestingly, in doing some reading and research on the psalm singing, there is a certain freedom to it. So if you feel the Spirit moving you to go off on a harmony all of your own, that is well within the confines of psalm singing as it was practiced by this congregation in its early history and by those congregations that continue to sing the psalms today in that manner. And I've done the music, which was the important part, so I think we're mostly done. However, before we begin worship, a special welcome to, I'm not going to claim to be Reverend Bethune this morning, which is a good thing, because we'd have two otherwise. It would be like a episode of Doctor Who gone somewhat awry. But we welcome, I'm sorry, I didn't do my homework before we got here this morning. I didn't catch your name. James, nice to meet you, James.
And Betty, my wife.
And Betty. We welcome James and Betty, who are here in town as part of the United Empire Loyalist Conference that is happening in town this weekend. And James is a descendant of Reverend Bethune. So we're pleased to welcome James and Betty from Winnipeg. Very good. I have all kinds of questions about where you're from in Winnipeg, but that'll be over coffee after worship this morning. And with that welcome, I think we have arrived at the hour of worship. Oh, there was one other piece of information I needed to pass on this morning, and I didn't have a chance because nobody would come into the elevator with me. Who's picking up the offering this morning? The plates do not come back to the front after the offering. You will just stay at the back. So, other than that, I think we're ready to go.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand.
All people that on earth do dwell,
all people that on earth do dwell,
sing to the Lord with cheerful voice.
Sing to the Lord with cheerful voice.
Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell.
Him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell.
Come ye before him and rejoice.
Come ye before him and rejoice.
Know that the Lord is God indeed. Without our aid he did us make. We are his flock, he does.
This shall be a sign to you upon your hand and a memorial before your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord brought our ancestors out of Egypt. From Exodus 20, verses 1 to 17. Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox, or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of the heaven, as the innumerable grains of sand of the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth.
I joyed when to the house of God.
I joyed when to the house of God.
Go up, they said to me.
Go up, they said to me.
Jerusalem within thy gates.
Jerusalem within thy gates.
Our feet shall standing be.
Our feet shall standing be.
Jerusalem as a city is compactly built together. Unto that place the tribes go up, the tribes of God together. Pray that Jerusalem may have peace and felicity. Unto that place thy peace has still prosperity. Therefore I wish that
peace may still. Peace in thy walls remain, and ever may thy palaces prosperity retain. Now for my friends and brethren's sakes, peace be in thee, I'll say, and for the house of God our Lord, prosper thy good always.
Come, let us stand before the throne of God's grace as we unite our hearts together in prayer. Lord God of the covenant, from generation to generation, you are God. We give you thanks that you have chosen us to live within the covenant of your grace. With each successive generation, you renew your promise to bless those who worship you and to be our companion in all of life. Teach us to be faithful to our calling, to obeying your will and walking in your way. For we confess that we often are distracted by the things of this world and slow to respond to your call. But you, O God, persevere, even in our weakness, and call us back into relationship with you. Heed now our prayers and be quick to respond. We pray for your church, that she might continually declare your goodness throughout the ages, and declare to all who are alienated and lost that they have a home in your eternal kingdom. You, O God, created us to tend the garden of your creation. We pray your blessing upon our industry, that the work of our hands, the task of each new day, and the creativity of our minds may bear the fruit of faithful service. You, O God, have promised to be a resting place for all who are weary and heavy laden. We pray for all those who wander this earth in search of a new hope and a new home, that you will guide their footsteps. We pray for those who are troubled in mind or spirit, that in you they may find peace and know that though all the world may seem against them, in you there is peace and joy. We pray for our friends, kindred, and benefactors, and we remember before you with thanksgiving all those departed in the faith, all the holy prophets and apostles, the evangelists and pastors, the blessed martyrs and confessors, and all the saints who have gone before us and who now glorify you around your eternal throne. Vouchsafe, we pray, your people, until we unite our voices with them in one great hymn of praise, bearing witness to your great glory. And now draw together our intercessions and supplications into one as we pray in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The author of the book of Hebrews holds up for us the example of Abraham and Sarah. He does so because they were a family without hope. In the ancient culture of the scriptures, family was important. To have a male heir to whom one could pass down their land and inheritance was pivotal. Abraham would live on through his children. The struggle, however, for Abraham and Sarah, as we first meet them in the scriptures of the Old Testament, is the fact that Sarah was barren. They had no children to whom they could pass on their land as a legacy. And when we first meet them in Scripture, they face the prospect of being lost in the sands of time. But God hears their distress, and God responds to their need. God makes a promise to Abraham and Sarah that they would indeed bear a son and amass a great land that they would be able to pass on to him and to subsequent generations. But God's plan was not simple. It required that Abraham and Sarah wait, that they follow God's command to them in faithfulness, based solely on the promise that was made that these things would come to pass. Indeed, God required of Abraham and Sarah that they leave behind their families and all that they had in the land of Ur and set off on a journey of faith with no fixed destination. As they traveled, Abraham and Sarah paused in the land that God had promised to them, living in tents yet not yet possessing it, as the author of the book of Hebrews notes. A transitory existence in which the land that God had, in the land in which God had promised to them, but which they had not yet received. Abraham and Sarah were strangers in a strange land. And yet, God made promises to them, and they were assured that God would be faithful to his promises and he would bless them. It is an all too familiar story in Scripture. The story of strangers in a strange land. From Abraham and Sarah to their descendants who dwelt in the land of Egypt generations later, before their escape through the Exodus. From the great prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and the judgment journey of the exile, which the people endured many generations later. From the time of Jesus and the people's longing for a Messiah who would return the land of promise to the people of God. The story of Scripture is the story of those who are strangers in a strange land. Time and again, Scripture draws our attention to people who are out of place, to people who live lives of uncertainty, longing for healing, longing for restoration, longing for home. But through it all, there is the promise of God, sometimes fleeting, sometimes far off. And yet for all of those who were strangers in a strange land, their faith in that promise allowed them to look to the future with hope. And so too is the story of this land. As we gather this morning and remember those who settled in this land, we are mindful that like Abraham and Sarah, they were strangers in a strange land, far from home, far from family, facing the uncertainty of life in a new place. They were left with nothing but a promise, the promise that God watches over them and that God would bless them. This is the promise that is so important to our ancestors in faith, those who established this congregation and gathered each week through 237 years to sing the Psalms as we have done this morning and to give praise to their God. It was that promise which Reverend Bethune proclaimed to all those Scottish settlers that he found in this region and upon which he built the church, that they should not forsake the gathering of the saints together, but rather that they would cling to the promise. Some may not be aware of the story of how Reverend Bethune traveled along the South Branch on his gray horse, reminding the early settlers of this area of their dependence and their hope in God. That despite the strange land and the certain hardship that defined their lives, they still had a God upon whom they could trust. A God who had led them safe thus far, and a God who would lead them home. It is that same promise and that same hope that we claim for ourselves today. There are still people upon this earth who come to this land, though very different from the untamed wilderness of Bethune's time, and who would still long for a better life, to live into the promise of God in their future, and to receive God's blessing. And the same is true for us. For us, in all of our want and all of our striving, the things that we occupy our days with, our daily lives with, if we listen closely, we too can hear the promise that God offers to us. And yet Hebrews reminds us that even this place, even this promise, is an incomplete goal. That our ultimate goal is that we long for the kingdom of God that lies beyond that life, a heavenly home where we dwell in the presence of God. The author of the book writes, "All of these died in faith, without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on this earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland." That we are seeking a home. A home not built with human hands or indeed the industry of our daily lives, but something greater than that, to dwell in the presence of our Lord, where goodness and justice and peace shall reign, and there shall be rest for all those who struggle. That is our vision of the kingdom of God. And that is a kingdom that unites us across generations and around the world, that the church might proclaim that God is the author and finisher of our faith, and that in him rests our hope forevermore. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to stand once more for prayer. Grant, we beseech thee, O Lord, that the words we have heard this day with our outward ears may through thy grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of your holy name. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. No thanks is given to anyone. Only one name has the praise. With rejoicing, Let us now present our tithes and offerings to the Lord.
May in the Lord that firmly trust.
In the Lord that firmly trust.
Shall be like Zion Hill.
Shall be like Zion.
Which at no time can be removed.
Which at no time can be removed.
But standeth ever still.
But standeth.
Round about Jerusalem, the mountains stand on way. The Lord his folk doth compass so, from henceforth and forever.
Now let us go from this place, trusting in the promises of God. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, this day and forevermore. Amen.